Hello and welcome.
Hi, thanks for having me.
We're here with a special guest to share his sweaty balls.
I had a taste of his sweaty balls earlier before we started recording, and I'm still watering in the mouth.
His balls are so moist.
Oh yeah, they feel very supple on the tongue.
All right, that's enough.
I don't like talking like that. We should do a whole episode in like that quiet NPR voice, like, so.
But read like extra vulgar posts.
Yeah. Am I the asshole for sticking it in the butt without a warning? My girlfriend, female, 56, has repeatedly declined my invitations to have anal sex. Me, male, 22, would like to have anal sex. She says she's been there, done that, got the t-shirt. I don't understand the reference. Anyway, last night, after watching Matlock, we got into bed. I can't keep going.
That's enough. So, anything weird happened this week?
This snow is like nothing.
That's the weirdest thing that happened.
There is some snow. I tweeted earlier, I don't know if you saw it, I said that this storm is basically nothing, is the worst thing to happen to me this week. Which I think was this, I did something similar when my uncle died. I tweeted, you know, this rain is the worst thing to happen to me this week or whatever. No, my dad died on Monday. I don't know, you know, for folks who don't follow me on Twitter, maybe you missed that. I did also post to Instagram and MySpace. I hit it up on Friendster. I built a website.
Flickr.
Yeah, it's on Flickr.
Imgur.
Imgur. Photo Bucket.
DeviantArt.
Yeah, it's on DeviantArt. I did a really cool like black and white
anime
photo set of him being dead.
Yeah.
Yeah, he died on Monday, as we kind of suspected. When did we record the last one? Was that Saturday?
Yeah, Saturday morning.
Yeah, so we moved to Comfort Care. We told them they could do it Monday morning, and he lasted about a minute after they turned off the machines, which I think helped for my sisters to solidify that it was the right choice. Like,
right.
He couldn't.
He wasn't coming back.
His body was not working. So I've spent the time since then, you know, we had to organize the funeral. I made not a tribute video, it's just a slideshow of a bunch of pictures, but I worked on that for like 3 or 4 hours today, just crying off and on. But then we were also getting funny pictures in the group chat, so then I was laughing, like I'd literally be sobbing, and then Alex would send something that was like pee pee poo poo, and I'd laugh until I cried. So
you were going through old screenshots and sharing some with us, and we found some gems.
I was trying to find, I did a little thread on Twitter of a couple of tweets I'd made about my dad or whatever.
Texts.
Yeah. And then I was looking for text messages from him, because one of my favorite is he sent me four messages this one day in 2012. So I would have been at Home Depot 4 times within about half an hour. Are you at work? Are you at work?
Are you at work?
Are you at work? Are you at work? And that's actually in the slideshow that people will see this on Friday at the viewing, just because I'm like, that's dad's energy. He was bad at texting. There's another one when
work?
He said, hey, can I talk to you? And I was like,
and you were like,
are
is
you,
he breaking
my dad's
up with
breaking
me?
Up with me.
We need
so
to talk.
That was pretty funny. But it was an emotional afternoon. It's been an emotional week, but I've been trying to bullshit my way through it, just because that makes it go easier for me. Jokes.
Yeah. Do you want to talk about that? Your internet grieving apparently came under some scrutiny.
Well, a family member was talking to my mother about not an immediate family member, so not my sisters, was talking about how they didn't like something about what I was posting online. And so I had posted this picture when we were at the funeral home yesterday doing planning. And I keep saying this, but we basically copy and pasted my uncle's funeral, because like we just did that and it was pretty good. So why mess with that? But yeah. He seemed happy anyway. But we on our way out, one of my sisters took a picture in front of a casket, like, hey, it was empty, like it was in the viewing area where you would pick your casket, and it was just such a stupid, silly thing. Like, it's absolutely, if I had thought of it, I would have done it.
And like, so posing with it like for a selfie.
Yeah, like, hey, she wasn't doing deuces. The peace sign, but that was the energy.
Yeah.
So I posted it online and I said, you know, if you've been weirded out by the stuff I've been tweeting, sorting through my dad dying, just take this as evidence that we're all like this. Because we are. Like, when things got tough in the conversation in the funeral planning, like, I tried to make jokes and keep people going because I don't know, it is sad, but why let it only be sad? It can be silly, just like a lot of life. So apparently the family member that talked to my mom had an issue with some of the things I've been posting. I don't know the details because she didn't tell me all of them, but I'm like, I don't fucking care. Like, my dad's dead. I get to do what I want.
Right.
I could flip your car or burn your house down and you just have to be like, you know what? That's fair.
She gets a pass.
Yeah. The other thing is, like, I know that part of my family will still misgenders me, has the wrong name in the phones. Like, they barely even are kind to my face. They barely even try. It's the type of people that will avoid saying a name or a pronoun entirely. And so that they don't have to deal with it. And I'm like, in all the years they've taken advantage of my mom and all this other stuff I know that they've done that isn't really public. So I'm not going to name names or share anything here. I don't even know if they listen, but it's unacceptable to me that they would go to my mom for that. Like, no one gets to be mean to my mom right now. She's very worried that people are going to be shitty because she divorced my dad, but like, they were still very connected and she tried very hard to help him all the way up through the end. They couldn't be together. They weren't happy. And I'm like, I think it's better that they separated and she gets to be her own person. He never learned how to do that. So we tried to help him with that. And it was hard. We had a conversation when I was here last month and I tried to help him understand how trauma impacts people and how that carries through generations. And unless you sit down and examine it, you'll never move past it. So it was really hard, but she loved him, not as a romantic partner, but as a person. You know, they were married 32 years. So even if it was hard and ended poorly, that doesn't mean there's not a connection there. So it's a hard time for her. I really, really don't want people being rude to her. I won't tolerate that. So I told her, you know, at the viewing, or as my sister told me just now, she prefers to call it a visitation. I told her, like, I will be your buffer. I will sit with you. If anyone tries to say anything or start shit, like, I will ask them to leave because they have to listen to me because my dad died. That most of the time when I've been saying that, like, as we play games and whatever, you know, Alex would be like, hey, I want to talk about this thing at work that made me mad. I'm like, Alex, my dad died. Read the room. But in this case, I'll pull that card and make them leave. So get fucked.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah.
We did make a lot of dead dad jokes last night during Quiplash.
Good. I didn't know if it was too many,
but it was a lot.
No, I had such a good time on Quiplash. It was quiet in between. Like, it's still, I am sad. But that is levity. Becca kept going, are you sure you want to do the podcast? I'm like, I absolutely want to do the podcast because it's stupid and it's my thing. And like, you know, he's up in heaven. He's subscribed now. Everybody in heaven automatically subscribed to the Unholy Pod so they know what keeps people from getting into heaven.
Our podcast in heaven is like that U2 album that was just on everyone's phones. Like, it's just in your brain.
Yeah.
You're just hearing it Steve Sunday Jobs morning, 5 a.m. Yeah. Yeah, it's not church you're hearing Sunday morning in heaven.
No, you've already done our podcast, the work. Yeah.
You went to enough church. You're in heaven.
You don't have to pretend anymore.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that's been my week. I did have Manuel's. So my mom, Manuel's is this Mexican place I love in Allen Park. I grew up. I know it's not the best Mexican food in the world, especially now they live in California, but it's so good. And so we got my mom to go there. Well, but it's authentic. Like, I learned that it's carne guisada is the meat and the chunky beef. So that was helpful because I'm like, it is a real thing, but it's more Puerto Rican. So yeah, it's like a fusion kind of it. We've been eating there literally since they opened in like 1990. It's the first restaurant I ever remember going to. So all the years that we lived in Allen Park and then my mom and dad were together, she never ate there. She refused. She's like, I don't like Mexican food. And we got her to go after the funeral arrangements yesterday. It was her first time. She had a chicken quesadilla, just cheese and chicken. And I was just so proud of her. Because she's been also, we've gotten her to do dumplings and Korean barbecue when I was home last month. So, like, she's doing better. She had Peruvian food in San Francisco. And I'm like, wow, look how far
you've come. I've never even had Peruvian food.
I don't remember what she got. I always get the lomo saltado, which is just steak and like a soy sauce over rice, french fries, tomato, and onion. It's amazing. It's so good.
I think they made that on Beat Bobby Flay once.
Well, when you come to San Francisco next, we'll go to this place I like in the Mission.
Okay. I think I'll go in May.
That should be fine.
If you're around.
Yeah, I don't currently have any plans, but, you know, someone could drop dead and then I'm stuck somewhere else for 3 weeks.
No, that wouldn't happen.
Yeah, could you imagine? That'd be so weird.
That'd be so weird. Random.
Random. This random family death.
I was, like, kicking myself because I didn't think of it until today. But after you texted our group chat to say your dad had died, I should have sent the GIF from I Think You Should Leave at the My Condolences. And then he plays the silly piano with the smashing plates.
I do really love Fred Willard. Maybe I should add that to the video I made for the viewing. It's like a 15-minute video on a loop. And if I could somehow just drop that in every fourth or fifth time and people are like, what? What just happened?
This one's about a lonely duck. It's a sad one. Feel free to cry.
Yeah, it's hilarious. I love that show. But yeah. So it's been a week. It's fine. I thought I lost my YubiKey earlier, but I found it. So other than that, like,
nice.
Those are the highlights. I've had ice cream 2 days in a row, which I don't normally do. I've still been exercising. I have a portable Oculus now that I'm here, and I've been playing a ton of that. And it's great. I love it. But also, it's just weird to do it here and not be at home. And sometimes when I'm in there and you get in the zone, you forget where you are. And I'm like, oh, I'm in my apartment. Why is it so cold? So it's normally like 80 degrees in my apartment, but I don't know. I'm excited to go home. I will be back in time to for Chris and I to go away for Valentine's Day, which I didn't want to miss because we haven't been able to do a nice weekend away together since our anniversary in October. So that should be good. I've gotten so many messages from friends and well-wishers, and it's been an interesting time. I think a lot of people are going to show up at the place on Friday, and I'm going to have to be like, oh, I'm upstairs playing video games. I don't need to be down there hanging out with my dead dad. Now, for my uncle's funeral, though, I did send a picture of him in the casket to the group chat. So probably, I guess I'll hit you guys with a selfie this time. I don't know what to do.
Yeah. Bring a selfie stick so you can get the good angle.
Hey,
with like you're vlogging, pretend to be vlogging. Like here at my dad's funeral.
The socks. Can I get an F in the chat for my dad?
Hey, chat, hit me with an F for respects.
Yeah. Type AQ to send Art off. We had to discuss during the planning. Like, he's always told us he doesn't have a middle name, but he would use R as an initial when he had to, like it was required for something.
Is this the second letter of his first name?
No, so it turns out his mom, I think her maiden name was Rodriguez.
Ah, that is a thing, yeah.
And
yeah.
So he didn't really have a middle name, but it sounds like he sometimes would use, his mom's last name as a middle name. But, like, he never said that. He was just like, no, I don't have a middle name. It's just R. I'm like, that doesn't make sense.
Isn't that a thing in, Mexican culture of, like, appending the maiden name to your child's name, and then eventually they just have a ton of names?
Sometimes, yeah. I don't know. I'm mostly Irish. Alex and I went to hockey the other night. Was it last night?
Yeah, it was Monday night.
Monday night?
It was the night he died. Because you were like, I gotta get out of the house. Last night we played Quiplash.
Oh, you're right. Sorry, like, the days really blend together because I'm not working. I'm not doing anything. I'm just here being sad and playing Oculus, Beat Saber. So we went to hockey and they won, and it was so great because I haven't been to a hockey game since January 2020, I think, maybe February 2020, but it's been 2 years and I used to have season tickets. I love hockey. So that's been hard for me to miss. But Sorry, my sisters are texting me. But yeah, so we went to the game. The couple behind us got engaged. The boyfriend like put a thing on the message board between periods that said, whatever her name was, will you marry me? And I heard behind me someone go, wait, are you serious? And I turned around and he was getting down on his knee and I was like, shit, it's happening. I told Alex, don't look.
Don't fucking look.
Don't look, but they're getting engaged. Like literally it was the row behind us. It was the row behind us. But like it wasn't on the big screen. It was just the message and then he did it and she didn't believe him. They seemed happy, but then they kept leaving. I don't know if they were going to get drinks or call people where it was a little quieter.
Probably going to call people.
They left their coats there and I kept going like, this is so weird. Who gets up at a big sporting event? How trusting are you? It's because Alex is so white.
Yeah.
And I looked white enough.
Yeah, they're not. Yeah.
So that was weird. But, good for them. I don't think it'll last. He sounded like an idiot when he was on the phone. So what are you going to do?
I want the data on, like, average divorce rates and then people who get engaged via Jumbotron divorce rates. Because I feel like it's probably different.
Well, I feel like if you've got a Jumbotron at home in your backyard, that's one thing. But if you're going to, like, a sporting event, that's completely different.
I just think public proposals are weird. Like, if you're doing a public proposal, odds are you've already done a private proposal because...
Well, hopefully you know the answer before you're doing that,
right? It would be
rude
to put someone on the spot if they haven't actually thought about it.
Yeah. One screenshot I came across today, speaking of proposals, is, I've been engaged twice, and the first time was back in 2013. And I wasn't really talking to my parents at the time, but I texted my dad to tell him, I said, oh, you know, just so you know, Caitlin and I got engaged today. And his answer was just, okay, nothing else.
That should go in the slideshow.
Well, I didn't want to put that in there. I tried not to put anything negative. Like I can save that for my complicated feelings on Twitter and if I ever write about this, but the slideshow gets to be positive. It's the same reason why I'm not... despite how angry I am about my some of my family not being vaccinated and that we're not going to require masks or anything at the funeral and all that, I'm like,
so ironic.
It now is not the time to start that fight.
Yeah, but well, now they know, like they know the worst case scenario and they still don't
they
care.
Still don't
so,
care
like, you can't
it,
change
it
them
makes
at this
me
point.
So angry like and yeah. I It's hard because I like being around my sister and her husband. They've been pleasant to be around in this time. But in the back of my head, I am so, so angry. And I'm just
you can't, it's so hard to reckon with both feelings of like, this is a person I love and care about and respect. But also, how
you're being so fucking dumb right
now.
How
do we see the world so differently?
Yeah, we talked about that a little bit. My mom and I about how like she raised four kids. One of them is off the deep end. That's my brother. And then the rest of us ended up so differently. And Lex and Annie in particular were very similar. People always thought they were twins and everything through their whole lives. So
yeah, they look a lot alike.
It's been very weird. And obviously my experience is extremely different. Cause I always kind of pulled away from the family, but it's interesting how different people with the same parents turn out so wildly varied. Mm-hmm. I mean, everyone is a product of their experiences, but otherwise, you know,
well,
we grew up in a white
class
or a white middle class neighborhood and all that.
Yeah. Yeah. My brother and I are alike in a lot of ways, but very different in a lot of ways.
He's a lot taller.
That is true.
I noticed that right away. I saw him and I was like, wow, he is taller than Becca.
You never met him.
I've seen pictures. I feel like I know him because he likes Hot Pot, and that bonds you to somebody.
Yeah, he had Hot Pot for the first time with me, and now he's gone back
at the place we like
with his little lad, who also, well, Odin mostly loves the spring rolls, which, like, can you blame him?
It depends on what's in a spring roll for me. I'm usually too picky for them.
The waitresses think he's just adorable because he just sits there in his little high chair, just, like, eating a spring roll, like, gumming it and, like, munching on it.
That's your brother or David?
That would be my nephew.
Oh, I just get him all confused.
Yeah. But he's so cute. And yeah, so I got my brother a gift card to that place. And so we should try the Korean barbecue side because that's supposed to be super good. So,
well, hopefully the caseloads are down far enough that it'll be safe for us to eat indoors, like relatively safe when when we're there.
Things are really down here right now. So, like, it's just a question of if another, like, surge is going to happen between now and then. But the levels in Denver and Colorado are, like, roughly where they were around Thanksgiving. And, like, we were going out to eat then. So,
yeah, that's what I'm trying to look at, too. As long as, like, when you're vaccinated and boosted, you're safe. Mm-hmm. And I know I'm not going to be around any people who are compromised. Like, I have to imagine... Unfortunately, people who are compromised aren't going out to eat, and hopefully they don't have to work, but I guess you don't really know.
Right.
But if I can be reasonably certain for myself I'm not going to be around them, I'm like, I'm fine to eat indoors. I'm comfortable. I'm not worried about it for myself. I just hate being a risk to other people because I don't know what they have going on.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, we thankfully don't interact with anyone that's, isn't vaccinated or boosted, or my nephew, I guess, but he had it very recently. So yeah, I don't know. We're going out to eat tomorrow, just mm-hmm. the two of us. We haven't been on a date since, I don't know, like November.
Wait, are you guys dating? I think you're just roommates.
Yeah. I mean, it feels like it. Like roommates. It's hard. I mean, like, you know, things could be much worse, but it's hard to try to, like, keep the relationship exciting when you're just home every single day and every day is a loop. Like, this has felt like early quarantine for mm-hmm. the past month, except we can't go for as many walks. So it's just, like, worse. It's a little less scary because there's less unknowns, right? At this point, like, we know what's happening. We know that we will be safe. So we're not, like, worried about dying. But the day-to-day is just, like, we wake up. We do our little morning routine. I do my dumb walk around the block that just
I know. Every day
comments
I get
on every morning. My little Apple Watch.
My watch says Becca just completed a walk, a mile and a half. And some days I send something nice, but most days I send something like, oh, really? Why didn't you go slower? Or something stupid.
I love the genuine ones because it's like, just like, good job getting out there for a walk. And usually I see it like after I've showered and I'm sitting down at my desk like to start my day, and I just see like text from Jess, good job getting out for a walk. And I'm like, thank you,
you did it.
Tried.
Proud of
but
you.
The last week it's been cold and snowy, yeah. And so I haven't really had that, and I didn't realize how important like my stupid daily walk was until
for
today.
Yeah, for like your mental health and your routine,
yeah,
and stuff, right?
I do it every morning. I go for a walk, like at least a mile. That's been my thing lately, is like mm-hmm. at least a mile every morning, and then I shower and I start my day. And today it was like too cold. I mean, it's like I don't mind walking in the snow, but like it was like bitterly cold this morning. And then I had therapy at 9, and then I had to start my day at 10, and so it was just like kind of got thrown into my day without any of the normal stuff. And then today I've just been in a horrible place, like mentally, and I know it's also because of hormones and a lot of other things, but just like, gosh, when your world is so small and it's just this little universe that you're interacting with every day, when like any bit of that gets thrown out of place, you're just like, I can't.
Yeah, I felt that when I worked at Home Depot years ago, I had no money, so I would basically go to work and then come home. And it just felt like I had nothing else going on because I had lost a lot of friends. I couldn't go anywhere. My family wasn't talking to me. This had been like late 2013, early 2014. Mm-hmm. And that was a really hard time because I would just go to work and then come home and sit in my room because I didn't like my roommate. And I'd just sit there and, yeah. I don't know, watch shit on Netflix or something, maybe. It was not pleasant. So I at least I had the routine of going to work and having to talk to other people, because otherwise,
yeah,
like if I was just at home and maybe just had, yeah, that roommate, I'd be like, I can't, this is unbearable.
Yeah, that was like when I first started working full-time and then got out of that relationship I was in at that time. Like, I was just going to work for a little while until like October. I was training for a marathon, but it was like I would go to work, come home, do my run, and then I would just like lay on the couch until I fell asleep. Usually I would like drink two glasses of wine and then fall asleep on the couch. And like, I did that every day. I didn't have any friends. Like, all my friends had mm-hmm. either graduated or...
Well, it's because you didn't know me yet, and I'm great.
Yeah, and then I saw you on Twitter, and I messaged you and was like, be my friend.
Please. I'm so desperate that I would even be your friend.
I tried doing that recently, and this person, like, seems super nice, but their Twitter is a little depressing. but it did not pan out. Like, I tried to do, like, a lunch thing, and then they were responding, and then they stopped, and I was like, okay.
You know, it's a little bit different now, though, because I feel like people are struggling. Like,
yeah,
they've been in this kind of panic state for
yeah.
2 years or maybe more if their life wasn't good before the pandemic right. too. So it's hard.
Right.
I'm lucky in San Francisco because I met new people just before I moved there in terms of like work people like Jen and everybody. So that was nice right. to have that kind of friend group to go hang out with. And then we've yeah. been able to still be outside and eat outdoors everywhere. So we've had a little bit of yeah. that. I gotta imagine it's so hard if I was here in Michigan or in Denver when it's cold like it is, trying to like yeah. bond with people, because what are you going to do?
Yeah, and it's like the winters here are actually really mild in that like it doesn't usually get below 40 unless it's snowing and then it goes right back up. But this week has just been like actually cold. So like last Sunday we went out, or no, the Sunday before last, it was like 48 degrees or something, and we went to this little Mexican place down the street.
I love Mexican food.
For like chips and guac, and like, but so we were like some of the only people sitting outside. So it's like it's still cold, but it's warm enough that we Michiganders can sit in the sun and feel like we're mm-hmm. warm enough.
It was 48 yeah. not to interrupt, I just want to share, it was 48 the other day, and I took my coat off. This was on Monday when yeah. we were doing the arrangements, or I swear yeah. it was Tuesday. Anyway, I took my coat off and it was sunny out, and people were like, what are you doing? I'm like, it's 48. Like, sunny. It's not cold.
48 in the sun is nice.
It's fine. But sorry.
Yeah. We're struggling with just like not having a tribe here, like a pack of people that like, you know, I don't need my like everyday friends to be my best friends, but like meeting any friends is hard. And, I have a very small group now of like a girl that I met through my string quartet, and then we've started watching The Bachelor together.
No, and then, like, that's not a good friend then. That's illegal.
And then last week when I was like going over to her house, she was like, I also invited my friend Katie, and I was like, oh, perfect. So now I have two kind of friends.
Oh shit.
Katie and I follow each other on Twitter now, so it's real.
Okay, well, I hate them automatically. But, you know, I'm glad you have that in your life.
It's just really hard because it's like you move to a place where, like, a lot of people already have their friends. And that, like, it's hard to integrate into and, like, not feel like you're this little kid on the playground, like, trying to tag along with the other
people. I feel like, that. Yeah.
So, yeah. So it's hard. I mean, like, I still want to be here for a few years and be around for my brother's kid and... like all that, but I don't want to like, well, that's my other issue. It's just like, I was talking to David about this, but like, you know, there's the answer of like, we move to where friends are, but like, I also don't want that to just be a foregone conclusion and therefore have us not try to also meet people here. Right. Like,
yeah, I mean, you should meet people wherever you are. Like I met people when I came back to Ann Arbor. Being friends with you was meeting somebody in Ann Arbor, because my intent was, even though I was going to try to make it with Hayden, my intent was always to move back to San Francisco. So that right. was hard when I left, like having gotten so close with you and David and Alex Mark and Eric with the band. It was like, that was really hard to then yeah. leave that, because I loved all you guys so much. I just had such a good time with you. That was hard. But then I yeah. found all these jerks in San Francisco and they're fine.
Yeah, it's just hard. Like, it's, you know, I just want everyone to be in one place.
Right? I know. We tell Alex all the time to move, and I feel bad because we're always telling him, buy this house or move out here and whatever. And it's not because, I don't know, for me, a lot of it is just because I would like my friends to be where I am.
Yeah, it's selfish. It's like, I want you to be where we are so we can all just hang out. Yeah. But
I just want to play in my band again. The Keyloggers, I don't know if you've heard of them. They're pretty good.
Yeah, truly.
And that's our sponsor today, Truly Seltzer.
Hoping that, like, you know, I have a lot of plans for the spring, like going to visit people and like, I think that'll be really helpful to just have stuff to, like, kind of look forward to.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of taking the train when I go to Chicago in April.
I love the train.
But it's $500 for
that's
one way.
That's too expensive and I wouldn't do it.
Yeah.
You can
so it's $100 for a seat. It's $100 for a seat, but if it's you $500 want for a room.
Yeah.
It's like a 20-hour train ride. I want to sleep. So, I don't know.
Is it $500 whether it's you and other people, or is it $500 per person?
It's, if you do two people, it's like $700 in one room. Yeah.
I don't think it's worth it. You should just buy a train.
I really want to try that. Like, it's like a one, you know, like, train ride all the way from Denver mm-hmm. to Chicago, which I think is really cool.
When Anna drove out to San Francisco with me when I moved, she took the train back from the West Coast all the way back to Michigan because I drove, and I just thought that was wild to do, but she said she enjoyed it. She did only do a chair, though. She didn't do a room, so she was like, you know, it's hard not to shower for a couple days and sit in the chair, and you can get up and walk around. There's a dining cart or whatever, but I guess it was beautiful. The drive is beautiful, having done it a couple times. But...
Yeah. I thought about just getting the seat, like, looking up how much they recline and, you know, figuring that out. But I also just think I might wait for, like, a time when David and I are both going somewhere, and then we can just do the room, and you get, like, your own bathroom and meals
nice.
And stuff.
Your own private ship box.
Yeah. But I'm hoping that, like, seeing people in the spring, having those plans will help. And also just, like, continuing to try to do stuff here, you know, beyond, like, I don't need to, like, have my friends that I text every day here because I have that with you all. But, like, have a routine of, like, a book club or something, or, like, regular going to trivia with, like, work people, which I've been trying to organize now that COVID's calming down.
Honestly, having the band has been huge for me because, like, through there, I'm now playing, like, in a little jazz combo sometimes on the board now. I get to talk to those people. It gives me projects to do. So it's been, I don't know if they have anything similar, like, obviously not a gay band because you're so straight, but a band in general that you could do, I don't know, community orchestra or something.
There is a community orchestra. Well, there's two. There's one that's, like, just a community orchestra, and I don't know if I really super want to do that. There is also the Denver Philharmonic, which is a mix of volunteers and professionals.
Mm-hmm. And you want to be like an usher or something?
The audition excerpt is no joke, and the schedule is no joke, which, you know, won't be too bad once I kind of, like, settle in to my new routine without school and everything. But it's like 2, sometimes 3 rehearsals a week. And during concert weeks, it's like rehearsal every night.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, it would be cool. I don't know, though, like, mostly just want it for the social element. So I don't know if that's,
is it worth all that time?
Yeah, because, like, I can fulfill the, like, music itch in other ways. Like, I'm trying to get back into piano.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. It's really hard. It's hard to, I don't know. Everybody that's, like, my age also is, like, saying the same shit of, like, how the fuck do you make friends?
Friends everywhere I go. I don't know. I feel like I do have an easy time of it because I'll talk to anybody.
Right.
Like, at the band, there are, I don't know, there are probably 5 people that I would say, like, yeah, they're my friend. We could hang out and talk. And they're all across all age ranges, like the percussion section manager and I, probably 60 years apart. But, well, no, I guess we couldn't be 60, but at least 40. And, like, she's super nice and easy to talk with. So, I don't know.
Yeah.
I guess it depends on how comfortable you are putting yourself out there and doing random shit. I find that I tend to be more comfortable than other people.
I'm not comfortable, like, in person. Like, we've gone to a couple meetups, and it's, like, I'm not someone that can just go up to someone and be like, hi, like, blah. So we joked about, and might actually do, putting up a flyer.
And, please, like, we're so lonely.
There's a coffee shop a couple blocks from here that has a bulletin board, and I just want to put up a flyer that says, like, be our friend. We don't want a third. We just want a friend.
Hey, we noticed your vibe from across the room. Do you want to play, like, Catan or something?
Like, put like, here's a list of normal human things that we enjoy, and it was like
hiking,
the outside, but not too much,
not board camping. Games,
drinking outside, like lots of things. Like hot in pot. Many other normal activities. And I kind of want to, just because I'm like, we have nothing to lose. I put David's Google Voice number on it.
Nice.
Like, what's the worst that happens? You get a bunch of weird people texting you.
Well, I mean, Alex is going to text you regardless.
Yeah. But the other thing that's hard when you're like a couple that lives together is you need separate friends. But it's like, we go to the same gym and like that kind of thing. And so it's like, we need to start going to our own meetups or stuff or whatever. Or else we're going to end up with the same friends.
Yeah. That is something I've mostly had in other relationships. And I'm glad in a way that Chris and I have kind of our own separate things going on all the time, just because one, I feel like it makes the time we spend together that much more valuable. Like,
right.
It's very deliberate, and like we want to hang out. We make that space for each other. Right. But also like it gives us our own separate support systems or things to do when the other one is busy or sick or whatever. Like it's nice to have your own stuff.
Right.
So I get it.
Yeah. It's hard when you're just living together and working from home together and like going to the same stuff. It's like there's no, you don't have an opportunity to miss each other. It's just, you're just there.
Well, okay, we're like 37 minutes in. What if we take our break and then come back and actually read a couple of these posts, because some of these sound really good.
Some real stuff this week.
Yeah.
Welcome back.
Hi, thanks for joining us today. On the line we have Henry Kissinger. Henry, the situation in Ukraine, obviously not great for the United States, not for Russia, not for our allies in NATO. What's your take?
Well, you see,
blah blah blah, do some mores, economy. I don't know what he sounds like. Yeah. All right, you pick one of the posts.
I haven't even been able to, like, I don't know. I haven't even thought much about the stuff in Ukraine, because everything I read, I'm like, nothing that I can do will do anything about this.
Yeah, if you call Congress and say, is this Congress, you could be like, don't do a war, you guys. For
don't
real.
Don't do a war. So, I don't know. It does feel very, like, a very detached thing from life, because it's like, I can't do anything about this.
It's interesting to me to feel that way now in an era where we're far more connected than, say, like World War II, where like you would hear about it in newsreels in the newspaper, but does some random person in like the middle of nowhere, Kansas, do they feel connected to that war effort? Because that's the impression they give you when you hear the history, like the whole country turned it on.
I think that we are more connected literally, but not actually like emotionally, right? Like there's some studies that show like the more news you read, the less likely you are to like do any action or like collective action, because like people think that being plugged into the information is them doing their part.
Yeah, I'm like, aware of the racism. It'll fix itself. Like,
it's just this attitude of like, well, I'm super online, so therefore I'm helping. And it's like, it's a bizarre new kind of thing. But yeah, it's because we're more connected does not mean that we are more emotionally and empathetically connected to what's happening. I think if anything, it just makes like war atrocities feel like just another thing that I see on Twitter, right?
Yeah, you see it and you go, oof, big oof.
Versus, you know, in the 40s when you're reading about the war and the paper and that's your one source of the news for the week, like you're gonna take it seriously, I guess. I also just think that we don't there are a lot of things about the U.S. that are much better than they were in the 40s, but we do not have a collective sense of, you know, being a country. And I don't know that the country has done much recently to warrant us having a lot of patriotism, but...
True. Yeah. True. Anyway, thank you about your insights, Mr. Kissinger. That's great.
I was just going to say, you think about, like, in the 40s, they had to, like, bring their rubber to the town and, like, to for the war. Like, take your old tires off your cars that you're not driving and bring it to the town hall because we need it for the war. We'll turn it into
bullets for your best guy.
And now it's like, could you imagine? Now people can't even wear a fucking mask on their face. Could you imagine if they're like, take the tires off your car and bring them to the town hall. We need it for America. Like, people would be like, fuck you.
I mean, they already take all our taxes to do their wars. Why can't they just spend it on rubber? I don't know.
I think it's just the sense of, like, individualism has gotten only worse and worse, like, in the past 20 years. But American exceptionalism has remained.
I hate it.
And so it's just a bad combination of people being like, America's the best, but I'm not going to do anything to help anyone.
Yeah, I don't have to. It's already good. I don't need to do anything to make it good. That's where my issue is, because I'm like, I don't want to contribute to wars. I don't want to do any of that. And I think the country's bad. So, like, what do I do? How do I help contribute?
Right.
What is there for me to do?
At least wars that don't, like, pertain to the common good. Right, like World War II, pretty universally bad. Nazis doing bad stuff.
Weird thing you said, pretty universally bad. Like, it wasn't all universal. There were parts of it you were like, well, hear me out. Some of those people were assholes.
I meant universally as in the world. Like, not every, like, depends on whose side you're asking. But yeah, like, that, I think there's also an element of that, of like, if we were truly at war with war criminals doing war crimes,
we'd be like, fucking don't. Here's the thing, though. Stop. We're the ones doing the war crimes is the problem, exactly. Too. So,
right. Everything is bad.
Oh, absolutely it is. So let's read one of these silly posts.
All right. Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend to bring back any type of pizza and getting mad he brought home pepperoni? Am I the asshole for telling my boyfriend to bring back... Oh, they just repeated the title. Great. This happened yesterday, but I, 21 female, been seeing my boyfriend for about a month and a half.
How old is the boyfriend?
28 male.
Okay. So, I don't like it.
It's a big one.
At that age.
Yeah, 7 years is not a weird age gap, but when one of you is 21...
I tried that. It didn't work out.
Then it's a weird age gap either direction. 21 and 14, illegal. 21 and 28, also bad. Because 21, you're not a person. You don't know stuff. And you're in a relationship with a fully grown man. I knew
a lot of someone who's 21.
That would be like David dating a 21-year-old girl. That would be weird.
First of all, some of us were very sad and did things we shouldn't have done when we were 27, all right? Or 28.
Okay.
I don't have to say who.
Okay. I'm not 28 yet, so can't be me.
You know what? Let's just keep going in the post.
Okay. He works at a pizza shop, then left me in his apartment yesterday while he was working. He left you there like you're a dog.
Okay, stay here. Don't be in the rug.
Stay. Go lay down. Before the end of his shift, he messaged me asking what type of pizza I wanted him to get me. I didn't really have a preference. I'm not a picky eater, so I told him to bring us back anything. He brought home pepperoni. I'm Jewish, and I eat kosher. I've told him this before, and he's seen me ordering at places asking for no bacon or making sure there's no pork in the food. When I asked him why he would do that, he told me I said anything, and that's what he wanted to eat tonight. He told me to order something else or pick off the pork. When I told him that's not how being kosher works, he blew up at me and told me I was being picky and a dick.
Okay.
Even if you told him...
You should have said not pepperoni, I think, is the end of it.
Right, right.
Anything other than bacon, pork, or pepperoni, like, literally.
Just anything kosher. That's all she had to say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you told him before, but you've only been dating for a month and a half, and in that phase, I don't think people in relationships on either side retain any information.
No, I know that you have parents, question mark?
Probably. So yeah, this is silly. Like, you literally said anything. Whatever. I'm just hungry. This is dumb.
Yeah, I don't know. Why don't say anything if you don't mean anything, I guess, is what I would say.
Yeah, she said about anything kosher. Or even then, like, you know, he brings it home and you're like, ah, I meant, like, anything kosher. I should have said that. Mm-hmm. But, like, it's she yelled at him. Whatever.
I don't know enough about pizza to know if the rest of it is kosher either. So, like, are you just picking a fight? Maybe. I don't know. But yeah, asshole, I think, is a strong term.
Kosher pizza. So if she's really keeping kosher, she would have to. Yeah. It says from most places, pizza is not kosher unless specified. Mm-hmm. So if she's like trying to be all like, no, I can't just pick off the pepperoni because then it's still not kosher.
Like, well, it wasn't going to be kosher right away.
It wasn't kosher to begin with.
Yeah. Let's take a logical approach to this.
Okay.
Okay, great. That was a quick one. That came and went. I'm going to read this one, which I think you knew I was going to pick.
Yep.
Am I the asshole for only giving my boyfriend anal for our 3-year anniversary?
Oh, that's not the one I thought you were going to pick, but I'm excited.
For anal?
No.
Good save. This one's actually really short and it was deleted. It's 3.2 years old. And I think we're going to know pretty quick. He's never had anal before and swears it's an amazing gift, but I just kind of feel bad. I wanted to get him something more, but he is really hard to shop for. I already know he's getting me a real gift, so I just can't shake the feeling. This is hardly an am I the asshole post at all.
That's two sentences, three sentences. So it sounds like he asked for anal as a gift. Like she was like, what can I get you for our anniversary?
He's been dreaming about it since he was a kid.
I want anal. First of all, not the asshole, but this is weird. Like sex
as for only.
Yeah, that's weird.
Like get him anal and a nice Lego set. You can do the Legos first.
Yeah. Yeah, this is weird. It's weird for him to ask for it as a gift because... clearly there's a reason she hasn't done it yet in 3 years. And I don't know. I don't like it.
I don't think she's an asshole, though. I think it's actually very considerate that she's like we're going to do this nice thing. Maybe we'll both enjoy it. But should I, like, get him, I don't know, a card? Congrats on the anal?
Yeah, and I also feel like hard to shop for is a cop-out, especially if you've been together for 3 years. Like, what do you mean hard to shop? Like, you've known this person for 3 years.
People describe me as hard to shop for, but it's because I tend to just get myself the things I want.
But also, like, you have a lot of silly interests that can be turned into silly gifts, right? Like,
that's true. I love swords.
It's like, if you really know someone, you know something that they would like as a gift.
Yeah. So Chris, for my birthday... painted, there's this picture in Star Trek The Next Generation that hangs in Captain Picard's ready room. It's like his office. And it's the Enterprise flying through space. And they painted me that picture, which I had asked them to do the year before, and they didn't end up having time, and I didn't even think about it again. And it's just such a nice little thing, because I hate gifts, but that was so nice and well done. It looks just like it. I love it. So
nice.
Yeah. Do that. Yeah, a good and gift is anal.
Just nice.
Don't make anal the gift.
Somebody said if you want to gift him something tangible and this is the only thing he says he wants, you could go buy some nice lingerie. And then that's like part of it.
Yeah, kind of dress up the anal.
Yeah. So it doesn't make it
more
shameful.
Of an event. These are fun. I like these short, silly ones. Okay, you go next.
All right.
We're going to still fit like 4 in here, even though we spent the first 40 minutes talking about anything else.
I'm excited for this one. Am I the asshole for bringing my penis and misplacing it to a party? Throwaway account since I really don't want this on my main account. Why?
Why not?
I'm on mobile. Sorry if there's any formatting errors. Before anyone asks, yes, alcohol was involved. Mm-hmm. Let me preface this by saying that I, male, 19, am transgender, and PAC, using a prosthetic penis. Mm-hmm. A few nights ago, there was a huge party at one of my friend's houses, and I very naturally decided to attend. At some point, I stopped remembering the events, and I'm assuming that's when I was too drunk. Yes. I wake up and find myself crashed on the couch, and I'm not the only one. I head out to the bathroom, where I discover I have misplaced my penis. Explains why I felt a bit light down there. I do my business and head to the kitchen. The host is my friend, and he's already awake. And I'm like, hey, did you see my penis?
Hey, bro. You see my dick?
You see my dick? He's like, no, don't pull it out.
No, what? I don't need to. I'm good.
We're not that close. I don't. All right. He asks me what the fuck I'm on about. I'm British. So I briefly explain. He loses his shit on me and tells me it's disrespectful and creepy that I brought my penis without telling him. And that if his parents find it before us, they're due next week, we could all get into serious shit. We search for the penis and we find it. Now I'm once again with a penis, but my friend is still mad at me and says he won't invite me to his parties. So am I the asshole for bringing my penis to his party and not telling him?
You need to read the rest of this. Like, the edits are pretty good.
Edit, I normally wear my penis everywhere. It's not just to parties. And for those wondering where we found it, it was in the garage next to a wooden plank with a really crumpled note that read, morning wood. Another edit. I finally listened to the song y'all keep mentioning, and wow, guess King Missile possessed me for the night.
So there's a song called Detachable Penis. It is very funny. It's like a very dry story about this guy who forgets his penis sometimes when he goes out, like he leaves it places. My friend Justin did it as a monologue to get into the theater program at Eastern when he went to college. But we actually played it in my high school band, not typically at shows like at the high school, but other things. It was one of the first songs I played drums for. So really, you know, it's got a place in my heart. You should listen to it, listeners. It's silly.
Nice. They linked the penis.
Nice.
I'm looking at it incognito. You can pee with it.
Yeah, they make some excellent prosthetics for folks to use. You know, that makes them more comfortable when they transition. Not everybody uses them, but for those that do, it's nice that there's technology there to make it, I don't know, stand out less. Ew. Like when you go to the bathroom, if you know, you're a trans guy and your dick falls on the floor, it's like, oops, my bad. And you got to reach down and grab it.
I'm not saying you because of this concept, but you can, they have pictures and you can choose your size. That's all I was saying, you too.
Nice. Yeah. You want it to be proportional, right? I don't think, asshole, for bringing it to the party, you got to keep better track of that dick, though. I mean, whether that's when you're having sex or just hanging out at parties.
They're expensive, yeah. Apparently.
Well, yeah, they're not cheap. You ever try to buy a dick?
Like a real one?
Yeah.
Black market?
I mean, all the jokes I can say in response to that are inappropriate.
Somebody, like, these comments, I don't think this person's the asshole. It's just, like, a silly story. But they're voted everyone sucks here.
I like this. So the top comment I see is, everyone sucks here. Prosthetic penises share the same rules as non-prosthetic penises. It goes where you go, and it should never come out at parties. You may,
like,
not remember the events.
They're equating it to, like, flashing that he took it out, and I just don't.
It is. I can see that, like, people may not want to see a penis, whether it's
fake,
you know,
or real.
Fake. I don't know if fake's the term I use, but whether it's a prosthetic or not, right?
Sure.
So I can see how that would be uncomfortable. I don't know what went down at the party. I just think it's funny that the guy was like, "What? You just bring your penis everywhere? Don't ever bring it here again."
That's so dumb.
Yeah. So I see why it's in Everybody Sucks Here. But really, to me, it's more like, don't be irresponsible, you know.
With your genitals.
With your genitals. Yeah. And that's good advice whether you're trans or not. All right. You want me to do the last one?
Yes.
All right. Here we go. Am I the asshole for flipping out on my husband for canceling my job interview? New account because he deleted my main. Right off the bat here, let me tell you, your husband's an asshole.
Wait a minute.
Yeah. Am I the asshole? My husband deleted my Google. I can't do Google no more.
I don't have any emails.
He cleared out my inbox. I'm at inbox zero. He thinks he did me a favor, but now I feel disconnected from my past. Am I the asshole?
I had a lot of stuff in there.
So this might sound petty, but let me explain. In 2019, I could no longer work because of my physical disabilities. No company wanted to hire me for the past couple of years, and my husband said, why is M capitalized? And my husband said that it's better I just stay home and not worry about working. I agreed, and he's become the breadwinner. Then it's like a switch that flipped because chores were 50-50, but after I lost my job, they became 100% on me. Keep in mind my physical disabilities I developed. His excuse for not doing anything to help is that I stay at home 24/7, and I told him that's not especially fair since I suffered from physical discomfort. He made a deal with me and promised that everything will be 50-50 once I start working again. I told him I would find a job, and he laughed and said, good luck, in quotes. I remember this vividly because of the strange laugh I had never heard him laugh before. I started looking for a job again for months, but had no luck till my friend's husband found me a potential job at a company that would have me work from home due to physical strains. I was so excited and felt like I'm capable again despite the struggle. They scheduled an interview with me, and when I told my husband, he looked red in the face but said nothing. 2 days ago, I found out that my job interview got canceled. I found out when my friend reached out to ask why I did that, but I said I had no idea. I checked my email and found nothing because I didn't send anything to the company. My husband came home and admitted canceling the interview. I asked why, and he said that, in quotes, this job had a lot of requirements that she didn't seem fit to be accepted there. So to spare her the heartache of being rejected, he just canceled the interview. I flipped out on him and told him he destroyed my one and only chance at landing a job. But he said he was just feeling concerned about my well-being. I told him he probably didn't want me to work because he didn't want to split house chores, and he seemed offended by that. He threw a fit about how unreasonable and selfish I was to even consider a job without speaking to him first. Told him I don't get involved in his work life. He called me horrible for accusing him of bad intention and then went out to meet his friends, probably to vent, because one of them told me that my husband is looking out for me, but I was being cruel to him by yelling. He's been cold-shouldering me since then, deleted my social media accounts, claiming that they're bad for my mental health because of the negative effect some of those platforms have. Am I the asshole for yelling at him?
Oh my God.
So what the fuck, I guess, is my response. There's no comments, nothing else from the poster. Everyone else is like, you need to be divorced. There's no ages on this. We don't know what the disabilities are, but I, no matter what, like, starting by saying he deleted my main, I'm like, that is already bad. It is bad.
He's already trying to cut off your contact with the world, and the comments are correct in like linking the National Domestic Violence Hotline and information of like, you don't have any money, you don't have anywhere to go. Like, please go to a safe house and figure out what you're going to do next. You need to get out
what
of here.
What is the plan here? Because
this is only going to get so much
bad.
Worse.
He's very
this
bad.
Is bad.
Yeah. Oof. That is scary because a lot of people who are disabled, like, I don't know if you know about the laws, but like they can only make X amount of dollars per year or something. And I think they can't be in relationships or they'll lose their, the SSI or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't know what it's
called. You can't get married.
Yeah. Like the restrictions on them so that they can have money to afford to live when they probably can't work is just outrageous. And so like, it's troubling that she's with somebody who is being so terrible. Anyway, it's awful.
I'm trying to find a silly one to cleanse our palate. Okay, here we go. It's called Am I the Asshole? Mario Kart Fight Night.
Nice.
I gotta go quick because David just texted me food.
What's for dinner?
Oh, wait. He texted me 15 minutes ago and said food. I think I gotta go.
That's fine. I can cut it so we don't read that last one.
Okay, we'll save it for next time.
Okay, great. Well, hey, we really sped through the stories, but you know, thanks for giving us space for me to talk about my dad because that's useful for me. And yeah, that's the show. I'll edit this after the funeral, so if there's any tears on the recording, it's not me. It's probably somebody else.
It's somebody else.
Yeah, I don't even cry. I had a dad, I think. I don't remember. It was so long ago.
I've only seen Jess cry once.
Did you see me cry, or did I stop immediately when you walked in?
I walked in and you started like wiping your face and you're like, nothing, just sitting here crying.
Yeah, what? just casually sobbing. You want to have pasta?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't like crying around people very much because, one, I'm an ugly cry. I don't look good at all. And two, I scream when I cry too. So it's like, I can't cry at home because my neighbors get so mad. They think I'm having a party. I'm like, no, I'm really actually very sad. And they're like, well, stop fucking screaming.
Please stop. All right. And on that note, I gotta go eat some dinner.
Good luck.
Okay. Bye.